This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American Research Professor, U.S. Army War College. Brazil, the big elections in Latin America in the New World this calendar year are Colombia, the legislature, and the presidency in the springtime, and then Brazil in the fall. Mr. Bolsonaro very carefully running a campaign in opposition to the former president, Lula da Silva, who is running again with a combination of elements against Bolsonaro and for the left. But all of this is mixed up with the recovery from the pandemic, now, of course, crisis in Europe, but also China. China is a major story in Brazil. And I begin with the historical note. This is reporting by The Economist magazine, that Lula da Silva visited China in 2004 and that he was very well treated. This is Hu Jintao leading China at the time. And that was a time of great investment and promise for not only Brazil and China, but also for the United States working with China. Here we are these decades later and things have changed profoundly. So we come to Mr. Bolsonaro, the president now running for re-election. Professor, would it be fair to characterize Bolsonaro as anti-China in his rhetoric? Is that a measure of how he has been these last years?
Well, Bolsonaro has certainly been a China skeptic. And as you pointed out, it's been a big contrast to where Lula da Silva and his successor, Dilma Rousseff, were. Really, China set its sights on Brazil from the very beginning. Brazil's enormous market, as you're aware, it's approximately half of the economy of South America, about half of the population, and as well as having a significant amount of things that China wants, soybeans, other agricultural exports like meat, iron ore, of course, technology industries, but also things like petroleum. As you rightly pointed out, Bolsonaro really came into office, ironically, as a China skeptic, and along with Donald Trump, with whom he was very close, who is also a China skeptic. And so from the very beginning, you had a lot of troubling rhetoric, both from Bolsonaro himself, as well as from other people close to him, his foreign minister, his son. Having said that, when Bolsonaro went to China, he spoke relatively pragmatically, relatively positively towards the Chinese. However, the Chinese, I think, have not appreciated some of Bolsonaro's comments and remember his style. And indeed, they've tried to do a bit of an end run around Bolsonaro to a certain extent by working with the state governors, especially places like Sao Paulo, where they've been very active in working the vaccine campaigns, or, for example, in some of the states in the Northeast, where they've worked a number of different projects, including smart cities projects. And so absolutely, Bolsonaro has certainly been the least favorable recent leader on China, and that's created some problems. But saying that, it hasn't been entirely negative, and he keeps with his vice president and military General Hamilton Mourão, who is very, very pro-China. Within the Brazilian finance ministry, he actually named a person who used to head the China-Brazil Business Council, who's very pro-China. And so there are these pockets of contradiction within Brazil, although certainly Bolsonaro himself is not helped the China-Brazil relationship.
The question of China in the whole region, before we apply ourselves to the numbers in Brazil, according to this report, China regards Latin America as the last of the areas of the world to invest in, the least interested or the least vital. Is that generally true under Xi Jinping? Has it always been true, reaching back to the turn of the century?
I would say it's only partially true, John. Certainly, China has been more comfortable, and as its power has grown, it's concentrated first and foremost in the area closest to it in terms of resources and deals and construction projects and fishing and a number of other things. It's also extended its reach to places where it had strong historical relationships, like, for example, Africa, where it had strong relationships with a number of the colonial independence movements in places like Angola and Mozambique, as well as areas areas where there were significant amounts of resources. So it has been, China came to the game a little bit later in Latin America, really taking off with its ascension into the World Trade Organization in 2001. But I think you can make a case that in terms of actual numbers, China's trade with Latin America has been about the same as what it's been in Africa. I believe China's actual investment, non-financial foreign direct investment, is actually larger than what it is in Africa. If you look at areas like, you know, soybeans and iron investment in places like Peru, its purchases of copper from Chile, I think what you find is that China's engagement in every region of the world is different, reflecting the distance from China, its historical knowledge and its ties, the particular combination of industries and opportunities, reluctance to provoke the United States. But I wouldn't say in any absolute sense it's somehow a less important region, but rather it's a region where China has come a little bit later and it's used a little bit more caution, but it has strong strategic and economic reasons for continuing and accelerating its engagement there.
China needs food. Food security is a threat to all of East Asia. I understand that under Xi Jinping, they're pulling in all of their opportunities and turning inward to be self-sustaining. But Brazil certainly represents a bounty of food security. I puzzle then this bad relationship. Is it built on Bolsonaro's politics, and does it promise that it would be profoundly altered if Lula da Silva is successful next fall?
Well, I'm not sure if the relationship has been that bad. I think the Chinese have frankly been offended by Bolsonaro's style. But if you look at the basic flows in terms of the purchase of soybeans, the investments even under Bolsonaro in the oil sector and in the Libra fields, some of the things that where Chinese companies have gone forward in areas like fintech or in areas like smart cities, frankly, in the port sector, you see that the relationship has been relatively strong, and China continues to purchase and need to purchase what Brazil has had. Now, with Lula returning, which seems almost a certainty at this point, what I'd expect is we will go back to some of the style that we saw previously under Lula, but at a much higher level of investment. So, for example, we saw that under Lula, Brazil was much more comfortable in doing state-to-state interactions in sectors like petroleum. And so that was when, for example, Petrobras borrowed $20 billion in two major installments. That was when you had debt swap agreements that were set up. That was when China got into the soy sector in big ways. Companies like Chongqing Grain and Sanhi Hopeful, and frankly, Nadera and Noble began making headway under the leadership of COFCO. So I think that you'll see an acceleration with Lula coming back, especially because the relationship has grown in Lula's absence, and Brazil, frankly, badly needs the money, and it's in a delicate fiscal as well as economic condition. So I think you'll see, if it didn't slow down too much, despite the inopportune rhetoric of Bolsonaro, I think we're going to see a reacceleration when Lula comes back with the PT.
In the Economist's reporting, there is an episode, an anecdote that strikes me as unusual. The state of Sao Paulo set up a trade office in Shanghai in 2019, in these last years, and it looks to have been somewhat successful. It lured business and it brought business into the state. But there are incomplete reports of other parts of Brazil, and there's a quote from a former foreign trade secretary of Brazil. There is a perception among some top Brazilian officials and even some businesses that China is more dependent on Brazil than vice versa. This is a puzzle to me. Brazil sells to the world. Did Bolsonaro change the atmosphere in some fashion, or has Brazil always treated everybody equally as a supplicant and not as a client?
Well, the interesting thing about the Sao Paulo trade office is this really goes to the state-oriented approach that I referred to previously, where not only you had some difficulties at the federal level, where both Jair Bolsonaro and Eduardo Bolsonaro had said some things that offended the Chinese, especially having to do with the Wuhan origins of the coronavirus and other things of that type. However, you saw, for example, in working vaccines, that actually the Sao Paulo state government governor, who is a political rival of Bolsonaro, was very active in working directly with the Chinese. You had some states in the Northeast where you had, again, similar types of things, working with smart cities and in other initiatives. So, again, it's like the U.S. system. We have to recognize that, even if President Trump was, having difficult relationship with the Chinese, that you would have individual Chinese investments in different states as long as they weren't stopped by the federal government. But the question of who is dependent on who is a complex issue. Certainly, the Chinese have a strong need for agricultural goods. And it's interesting. I remember 10 years ago when the Chinese were trying to lower their dependence. The problem is that the Chinese have a gross lack of arable land. Even to the extent that they have arable land, they have a significant lack of water. So they just can't grow all the soybeans that they need. Or even if they could grow the soybeans, they just they don't have the water to grow the other crops. And so, and of course, what's happening in Ukraine right now makes things even more complicated, because actually the Ukraine was another major source of agricultural imports for China. And to the extent that, things get worse in Ukraine because of the current situation, that farther makes things difficult for China. So I think, China needs Brazil, but I see very few indications that Brazil has actually used its market position in any way to its own benefit, as much as China has used its power as a purchaser and investor to get what it wants from Brazil, despite some of the inopportune rhetoric of President Bolsonaro.
You mentioned the Ukraine crisis, and the reporting points to the fact that Brazil is speaking out, urging peaceful solution to Russia-Ukraine conflict. This is in Brazilian Ministry of Foreign Relations. At the same time, there's the profound irony that wheat and soybeans have skyrocketed and that all the agricultural products are now being bid up. And so none of this is negative for the farmers of Brazil and for the economy of Brazil. One more detail about Brazil and China and this mix that we're getting into. Brazil, to my memory, was identified during the Cold War with the right side of the ledger. I'm trying to be general, but I just don't remember it being a major player. Is that an accurate memory? And is the new Brazil likely to take sides or to remain neutral in your measure at this point, if we are what the headlines in Europe say, starting a new Cold War?
That's a great question, John. And so, first of all, the Brazilians like to remind us with great pride of the contributions that they made to the Allied war effort. The Brazilians sent, I believe it was a brigade or perhaps even a division to the Italian campaign, as well as aiding the U.S. in the maritime security of their portion of the Atlantic. And so the Brazilians like to remind us of that, especially the Brazilian army and military, who is, a very good, credible combined arms force, and considers themselves, I think, far more allied with the United States than they do with the Russians. As a matter of fact, arguably, Bolsonaro's visit to Russia, where they actually had some cooperation, some discussion of defense cooperation, probably made many in the Brazilian army profoundly uncomfortable. And so it was of interest that the Brazil's statement on this was relatively more neutral and less pro-U.S. than one would have hoped for. But I think at the end of the day, and of course, we have to remember when Brazil, under more leftist governments, certainly Lula da Silva and Dilma, tried to position themselves as more of a kind of a third world broker. You may remember back when Brazil wanted to get involved in negotiating nuclear agreements with Iran, something the United States didn't take kindly to. And so the question certainly becomes whether, with the return of Lula, whether you go back to that kind of left to center kind of Brazil is a developing voice of the third world, style of their foreign ministry, Itamaraty, that we saw previously, or whether Brazil's more rooted role as a, is an actor of democratic values, that finds itself more naturally aligned with other democratic players will triumph. At the end, that's not clear, but Brazil does have strong reasons to continue to be in the democratic camp, in my judgment.
Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College. This is the New World Report, and we're headed into a time machine. More than 1,000 years ago, on Easter Island. A very happy story, but with deep, deep roots into how the New World was developed and what is to be done with the memories of who was here before the colonies, the colonials from Europe. This is CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor.